Ayurveda.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Mystic Truth Radio. This is Elaine Reed Cole for Mystic Truth, and today we have a wonderful show about what is your dosha. So this is a philosophy of really kind of defining your constitution, and a lot of people really don't know what is their primary dosha. So today we have a special guest, Gina Rainwater, but before that I want to introduce my lovely co-host, Dana Zimmerman. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Elaine. And hi, everybody out there, and welcome, Gina. We're really glad to have you back with us today to talk about some Ayurveda practices.
Well, thank you, Dana and Elaine. I'm glad to be back here again, especially during this time of year. We've gone through the summer months of our gardenings and talking about that and our food and harvest, and here we are, another change in our life and preparing, going through fall and preparing for winter. So, looking forward to having this discussion today with everyone out there.
Yay! So
this is a pretty big energetic change, yeah.
It really is. This is for me, this is a tough change. You know, when it moves into spring, I think an awful lot of people have not a problem with, you know, the new birth and the new beginnings. And this season, going into fall, because we're in November 2015, I think it's a little bit different. You know, we get the seasonal affective disorders and things like that. But let's start out, Gina, with you explaining a little bit about Ayurveda and what it means.
Okay. Well, Ayurveda is a 5,000-year-old medical system indigenous to India. Ayu, the A-Y-U part of the word Ayurveda, means life. The R is just like to combine the two words together, kind of like rolling a compound word. So it's Ayurveda, and the Veda means knowledge. So these are books and a philosophy and a system that has been handed down for many, many years from teacher to student, and then they put them in books and manuscripts over the years. So what it is, it's an elemental practice of medicine, how we can stay in tune with our bodies and in nature, recognizing the changes in the season, in our lifestyle, in the seasons, not only out there pertaining to weather, but pertaining to our lives as well, because we have seasons in our lives. Mm-hmm. So we can start off by talking about the doshas. You were mentioning about those doshas. Okay. Doshas
and
is a word that means like kind of imbalance. So it comes from the five elements. Doshas are the organizing principles in nature and the primary energies of the body, which you have vata, which is composed of ether and air, and it also means that which moves things. And the qualities of vata are dry, light, cold, rough, and so on. And then they have their specific places in the body, which vata is in the colon. That's why sometimes we experience gas and bloating and stuff if vata is moving out of its area where it belongs. The next constitutional type would be your pitta, and it's composed of fire and water. And what pitta means is that which digests things. And its qualities would be oily, sharp, hot. Pittas also have an unpleasant odor when they sweat, so that's one of the downfalls about having high pitta or a pitta constitution, because we all have a primary constitution as well. And the last one is kapha, and kapha is composed of earth and water, because after the water starts to, let's say it gets stagnant because the only thing that it moves here is vata, it starts to create little microorganisms and things grow and then things get solid. So that's where the kapha qualities of being solid and heavy and dense come into play when we start talking about that constitution. And its site in the body is like the chest and the throat. So if we have like a lot of congestion up in that area, that means we got a little bit too much kapha going on, and we could probably look at a lot of factors that could be causing that. It could also be seasonal, like in the spring for kaphas. You had mentioned, Elaine, that you really like the warmer months, and when spring gets here, it makes you feel better, and that's because that's what vata, primary constitution, that is the season that they favor, is more the warm months, the spring and the summer, where that can be aggravating to the other doshas, because we're made of all of them. It's not, but we all have one primary constitution. And when those constitutions go imbalanced, get vitiated, that's the word dosha. That's where that dosha word comes in, or dushti or dushaya. It's all a form of a word meaning vitiation.
Okay.
So that's how we get the feelings when we go in and we start to change the seasons. We feel the change in our body as well.
Uh-huh.
And that's the time that our body's telling us, hey, it's time to move on because my vata doesn't like this cold, so I'm going to put a hat on and I'm going to eat some more nourishing foods. And that's how our body knows it's time to prepare and to protect ourselves from our constitutions getting too vitiated during the change of season or during the changes in our lives as well.
Right. Right. So a pitta person and the seasons start getting cold may turn around and say, oh, my God, thank God I can finally go outside and have a, you know, lightweight jacket on and I feel absolutely perfect.
Exactly.
As where a vata person may, you know, say, oh, God, I don't even want to go out. It's like 60 degrees and I'm freezing. So, yeah, it's,
exactly.
It's different for every constitution. So
basically,
people really kind of need to know what their primary dosha is and to try to bring everything into balance, right? Because it's all about balance.
Exactly. And that's the beautiful thing about Ayurvedic science and their practice is that it's an individualized medicine. No two people are alike. So therefore, when you come to an Ayurvedic practitioner or you look, take some of those questionnaires that are out there on the Internet, because there are quite a few of them out there, you can see where it might be too high at one end and you're really feeling, let's say, all this indigestion and we'll just say because pitta's out of whack or constipation and gas and bloating can say your vata's out of whack. But if you've got diarrhea, you know, it just kind of it goes like that.
Right. Right. Now, maybe we should just kind of hop into the questionnaire, unless you've got something else you want to address, so that people actually have a little bit of understanding before we talk more as to what is applicable to them. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Because usually, you know, with our lifestyle now, particularly here in America, it's a little more fast-paced. And, you know, so a lot of us have that excess vata going on, and we may see that, oh, well, my primary is a vata, but yet it could just be that they're reading that their vata is just that imbalanced as well. That's why the other diagnostic tools are helpful in determining the true constitutions. But this questionnaire that I'm about to give out would be just a general purpose. We're just going to base it on how we're going to feel today. We won't go back into the childhood and things like that. Would you like to do it that way?
Sure. You know, whatever way you think is best, go for it.
Well, I'm thinking for our audience out there, they would just like to maybe take something for today. Because when mm-hmm. I have clients that come see me, I have them, the ones that I see on a daily basis, you know, they have a short questionnaire that gives me some idea of where they're at now. And then for the more in-depth consultations, the package and the questionnaires are really deep, and that can go on for, that's usually about a couple hours. So I don't think we're going to go that far in today, because I don't want to complicate people out there, you know,
right.
that might not even understand, you know, the depth of these constitution and their and the doshas. So
right.
I guess everybody,
perfect.
If they're ready out there, they should give them a few minutes to get a pencil and a paper. And then we'll get started. Does that sound good?
Sure. Now, while they're getting pencil and paper, Dana, would you like to give out the guest call-in number in case somebody wants to call in with a question when we are done?
Yeah, Elaine, we'll give it out now, and then maybe people, after they take the dosha quiz, will want to call in and talk about what their results are.
Right.
So we are... Our call-in number to chat with us live is 914-219-0867, 914-219-0867 to call in. You can also come into our Blog Talk Radio chat room, Mystic Truth Radio chat room, and ask us a question or make a comment there. And also, we do monitor our Mystic Truth Radio Facebook page. So if you have anything to post on our show posting for today, a question or a comment about Ayurveda and your dosha and constitutional type, we'd be glad to see that as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, if someone does call in, and you do want to ask a question, because, of course, we have people who listen through the phone lines, too. So if you want to speak with us, press 1, and that will raise your hand, and we'll know that you'll want to say something. Okay, so, Gina,
okay.
I think that probably gave people plenty of time to get a paper and a pen. So go ahead and do your thing.
Okay, so... The first category of questions will go under Vata, V-A-T-A. Okay, so here's the first question. Are you often cold?
So, Gina, these are yes or no questions?
Yeah, these are yes or no. They're simple, just check the, like, kind of check the box type things. So, yes, yes or no, but... Would you like me to give them enough time to write the question down? Do you think?
You know, just, yeah, you don't, they don't have to do a thorough question, but that was
that's
plenty
what I'm
of
feeling
time to that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, the second question is your skin usually dry? The third question is, do you feel restless?
Restless?
Restless. The next question, do you feel ungrounded? Are you anxious? Are you irritated by loud noises? Are you constipated? Are you fearful? Have you been experiencing any sharp pains in your body? Is your speech talkative or erratic? Okay, so that's enough for the Vata category.
Uh-huh.
And that'll give us enough to touch base on and expand on. Okay, so the next category is Pitta. and Pitta is P-I-T-T-A. Okay, the first question for the Pitta category is, are you often hot? Do you have acid or acid indigestion, like a hot stomach? Do you suffer from skin inflammations? Do you anger easily? Have you been experiencing any burning pain in your body? And the last one in this category is, have you been experiencing any reoccurring inflammation, illnesses, or infections? Okay, the next category is going to be Kapha, and that's K-A-P-H-A. Some people pronounce it Kapha, like I did, or Kapha. It depends if it's a northern or southern dialect. It doesn't really matter, from India. So the first question on the Kapha is, do you feel sluggish? Do you often feel nauseous? Are you often congested or feel phlegm in your throat or nose? Have you felt a tendency toward depression? Do you have feelings of being unmotivated and unable to make decisions? The next one is, have you had a problem with retention of fluids? Do your joints feel stiff? And the last question in this category is, have you been experiencing consistent low-grade pain in your body? So that's the end of that questionnaire. And that's, like I said, that's like a daily intake.
Mm-hmm.
So... Where would you like to start?
I'm looking at this because, of course, I took it, and
mm-hmm.
you know, always just, you know, my primary dosha is Vata, and I am shocked at how many things I said yes and no to in the other categories.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm looking at Kapha, going, really? Yes, 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 yes. Yes,
yes,
yes, yes. Yeah. Now, you said that this is daily, so
well, right. This
is
kind of like
because
the
of the
I,
change of the season.
This one is more designed for seeing clients on a daily basis that just want to come in and get Ayurvedic body work from me,
mm-hmm.
versus my longer intake form that is more detailed for those that come for Ayurvedic consultation. This way, when people come to me, because the body works, because there's Ayurvedic body work that can help with these doshas and these dosha
mm-hmm.
imbalances. So what I put out there as part of my practice is the Ayurvedic body work piece, and some people just want to come in for the Ayurvedic body work piece, don't really understand about how the body work helps to balance the doshas. So this
right.
assists me in my determining on how my flows are going to go, how
mm-hmm.
and what oils I am going to use on that person. because we can now we can get into the sesame oil for Vata if you're cold. Like if on the Vata category, are you often cold? So that would indicate to me if a person filled out a primarily hit all the Vata stuff in that category, that would indicate to me a primary Vata constitution. I would then take a quick pulse read to see what's out of balance. This would help me to balance them when they come in off the just out of the blue to see me for an Ayurvedic body work.
Explain the pulse read.
The pulse read is when you take, in Ayurveda we use three fingers, starting with the index finger, being Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And soon as, when we read those, we can determine how that pulse hits on my fingers. And the first one is what they call Vikriti, and that is your state of balance now, or I hate to use the word imbalance, cause, but where you're at now. And then they have a Prakriti, which is your primary constitution. So that tells me what their real constitution is. If I press hard enough and then come up, then whichever hits first tells me what their primary is. So they could come in with their Vata all high, but when I read their real constitution, they're really, let's say, a Pitta Vata, but right now all that's showing up is Vata Pitta, and that means Vata is pushing Pitta, and Vata needs to be calmed down. So I would address that. So that's the reason for this questionnaire. So today we look at this, and I see everyone's looking at their questionnaires now, and they're like, oh, wow. Okay, so today, let's say, for the sake of the seasons and everything, we'll just go ahead, with, we'll start with Vata and we'll roll down. So today you would use like a sesame oil on you, but if today you're feeling high Kapha, you're not going to want to use that on you. So if someone came into me and I saw all that, like you said you were surprised about all that Kapha down there, I wouldn't use sesame oil on you because it's too heavy and heating. I would use a mustard oil on you. Because a mustard oil is more heating and will break and breaks up stagnation. So that's what you want to do with Kapha. It's because Kapha is slow and heavy, the 20, what they call the 20 gunas. And each constitution has one. So Vata is your dry, light, you know, like we went over earlier and we described what they were, you know, dry, light, rough, subtle. So, of course, you wouldn't want to add dry, light.
You'd add the opposite.
You would aggravate them. So, like, if I would do a Vishesh on somebody that's high in Vata, I wouldn't do Vishesh, which is a
what lymphatic is that?
Silk. A Vishesh is, or Garshana Abhyanga. Let me back up to that. The Garshana, the silk glove lymphatic, because it's too brisk, and it can aggravate them.
Okay.
But yet they would benefit from the Abhyanga because it's more grounding. It's all about the pressure. The Vatas, you wouldn't go light and fast on because that would aggravate them. You would want to push your hands down a little bit harder on them, but
okay,
not too much because they're
Abhyanga.
Delicate.
Explain
Abhyanga.
Yeah.
Abhyanga means to oil the limb. And Snenaha is oil. So what we're doing here is we're applying the oil that's appropriate for the dosha and then adjusting the stroke pattern to settle that dosha down if Vata is out of balance. And Abhyanga means to oil that. So I can't, the best thing that like Vatas can do for this time of year going in where it's cold and a little bit windy and chilly, is to do their Abhyanga, do self-oil massage with sesame oil. And that help will warm you up.
Okay, maybe after you explain the other ones, then we'll get into what an Abhyanga self-personal practice would look like.
Look like? Okay, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we'll continue on. So looking down at the Vata, if you know, you can see that there's always a consistent here of the elements of Vata being mobile and dry and light by looking at the cold, the dry, ungrounded, anxious, loud noises. Vatics can be very sensitive to loud noises, you know. And because there's such an air quality to them, they often get constipated. And that's, you know, usually the first sign that it's starting to move out of its center. If you're feeling lower back pains and a little bit of gas and bloating. And those are usually your first warning signs for that. So you would want to approach that with some meditation. I know not for like the constipation, but what you're needing to do is calm things down and get that prana settled back down.
Right.
And it wouldn't cause all that havoc on you. And you wouldn't eat beans and you wouldn't eat drying things. Think about the food qualities in your life that may be causing each one of these. If you're looking down at each one, the vata, pitta, or kapha categories, you can adjust your lifestyle to that. If it's too dry, if you'd like too dry, then you would want to do more oiling or take more unctuous foods into your life. You know, this is the time, a good time for vatas to be eating the what they call the comfort foods, the ones that give you more nourishing. And where we are going into, you know, we're in fall and winter, it's now that time to put that little bit of extra layer on there to insulate all of us, actually, but not too much for kaphas because they don't like to move.
Right.
So it's a fine line there with the comfort and the nourishing where, you know, who's going to do it. So it's just because the fall is coming and the winter's coming, it's a kapha time of year. I mean, it's a vata time of year. It's cold. Oh, that means I have to eat more I shouldn't say macaroni and cheese, but, you know, that's very unctuous and yummy and heavy and gurumanda, you know. So it's not good for everybody. Somebody that has a major kapha imbalance, they're really not going to want to have that just because it's winter time, and that is the recommended diet for winter diet, and it works really good for the primary constitution, the people being vata.
So a pumpkin soup might be good for midway in between, you know.
In between. It's not, you know, maybe a little... yeah, because with the spices in there, the nutmeg and the cinnamon and things like that, that could be also very comforting.
Yeah.
But not too guru heavy, you know?
Right. So it flames a little bit, but not too much. So there's the warming aspect, And then, see, everybody, you know, it's a good time of year for pumpkin everything.
It's true, because it's the last of really the harvest, the what they call the last harvest or last feast. That's hence Thanksgiving. So this is the time of year that we start preparing ourselves.
Right.
For that. You prepare yourself for the next coming season, the prior season, too. So.
Now, what would a general vata person look like? You know, there has a tendency to be a physical look to type.
Yeah, we didn't really look into that, but they're usually thin. They can be tall or they can be short. They usually have light hair on them, not like the hair can be fine.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, most people might describe them as they feel like flighty. They're like the wind. They switch easy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like their movements and things like that can be sometimes a little out of balance, can be a little erratic.
Yeah.
There can be feelings of ungroundedness because the vata characteristics are ether and air. So if you think about what ether and air is made of, and then the primary constitution of vata being that, that'll allow you to put all those into perspective. It's how it's easy to determine and follow the doshas or the constitution is by their elemental makeup.
Yep.
They also, they might have they're really usually flexible. They have those, a lot of times, double-jointed.
Mm-hmm. I like to kind of call them wispy. Vata has a tendency to be wispy.
Yeah, their skin can be cold, sometimes dark and sallow. They tan easily.
Mm-hmm.
They find it hard to gain weight, but easy to lose. That's another body constitution. Their eyes are usually small. They don't have like the big, you see the people with the big saucer eyes. Those are more tachypnea. They're usually either gray or violet or an unusual color.
That's interesting.
And they're not, they don't really like to routine too much. Because they like to be able to flit around, you know.
Right.
And so they do like change, and they change easily. So I'm sure we all know that type of person that I just described.
Oh, yeah. I myself have a lot of those qualities. Not total those qualities, but quite a few of them. Don't get me stuck in a routine. I'll scream. And loud noises, absolutely. Now, I know an awful lot of people who ride motorcycles, and, you know, I have nothing against motorcycles. I cannot stand the sound of them. Can't stand it. You know, loud noises really, they make me crazy. So, you know.
Because you have a sensitive system.
Very.
Sensory
very.
System.
Yeah, yeah. Highly sensitive on many things.
Right.
I wouldn't necessarily say I am a wispy person. At least I never kind of was. Although now I am a person who has to watch losing too much weight, which is funny because most of my life I always had a problem losing weight. Now it's just the opposite. So that's something that's very interesting for people like you to go see Gina and actually have that really in-depth quiz to find out how things were when you were a child and, you know,
exactly.
What has shifted in your life and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly, and that gives you a better idea, and then you can see which constitution is out of balance.
Correct.
You know, where the dosha comes in to play.
Correct.
So do you want to move on?
So do you want to move on to the next category,
yep.
The pitta?
Yep. In the pitta. Now, pitta is hot because it's made of fire. And water. So the pitta is in your stomach, and it governs digestion. There's other in parts of the body that pitta is, the subdoshas on that, but that is too far, too much more. Another time, another show. So we're just going to stick.
Another
yeah.
show.
Yeah. Well, because when we were talking about the primary constitution of vata, pitta, and kapha, there are subdoshas to that, and that's when things are fine-tuned and honed in, because then you really get to see that they have the five sub-doshas of each one of these doshas, the vata, pitta, and kapha, and then there's the five subs, and that's where you really start finding out and honing in on where the imbalance really could be there to bring everything back in to balance again. So when we start off with the first one...
Gina's really earning her frequent flyer miles here on Mystic Truth Radio, so we'll definitely have her back again to dive even deeper into
deeper.
This.
Yeah. You know, it's not cut and dried as the buzzwords are out there,
right.
You know. So that's why it's important for people to understand the whole self-diagnosing of your constitution. If you start self-diagnosing that stuff and you say, oh, my gosh, this is it. I'm going to do all this. And you read all this, how to balance this, and this is out of whack. Next thing you know, you've aggravated one of the other constitutions. And now that's dushaya, doshas. It's messed up. So then you have to go back and address that. Next thing you know, everything is just a little crazy. So people need to be aware of that too. You know, to only change like maybe one or two things until you see how your body's going to react. And, you know, it really takes up, it's about a 35-day process from beginning to the end of things to really see a full changeover. So with that said, we'll continue on with the next category, the next dosha and constitution is pitta. And so the question was, are you often hot? And this is normal. Pittas are hot. They always have, their digestive fire is stronger, so they require a little bit more food. They get hungry. You know, the average time to eat between meals is anywhere from 4 to 5 hours. And pittas, they can be ready to eat in that four-hour mark. And, you know, if you don't feed them, they get upset. So, you know, hence, do you anger easily? Well, yeah, because they're made of fire. So that's where pittas kind of have to keep that in check. The burning and pain in your body, and that's going to be normal. And that's going to come up, especially when you have areas of inflammation around in the joint areas or inflammation due to arthritis. Arthritis would be one of your diseases that would come from too much inflammation. And that usually can be fixed, you know, through what they, in Ayurveda, they also have this category of channels, they're called. And these channels address what they call tissues in the body, which they use the word dhatu. Dhatu means tissue. And there are seven of those in Ayurveda. So the first one in Ayurveda is rasa, which is blood, and rakta. Then the next one is rakta, which is the plasma side of the blood. It's separated. Unlike Western medicine, they don't separate those two out, but in Ayurveda they do. So the primary thing that goes out of whack for pittas is usually you have to look at their blood and see what's going on in rasa dhatu and see if you can balance out that, especially in the inflammatory part of it, and look at taking the anti-inflammatory, look at anti-inflammatory herbs, you know, again, diet and lifestyle to bring that down. And also you can help, everybody can benefit here from Shirodhara. That's another body work therapy that is offered in Ayurveda, and that helps to settle the nervous system throughout the body. And it can be really balancing.
What does that look like?
Shirodhara looks like?
Yeah.
Shirodhara looks like it's a pot that hangs above the third eye.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of warm oil.
Mm-hmm.
The client is laying, you know, face up, of course, on the table, head toward the end. And the Shirodhara part is when Shiro means head, the Dhara means, like, to anoint the, pour the oil. So, what this is doing is it's focusing on the third eye, and it's balancing the nervous system, and it's helping to settle that prana. So, again, that can be good for everybody, because what's happening with the pitta is when things are too hot, it means that it's being fanned.
Okay.
So it's being fanned. So what's being fanned by? Usually vata. Because vata is the only thing that moves. And once vata starts moving around and pushing in on the other pitta and kapha, that's when we start having our imbalances in the other doshas. Because pitta and kapha are lame. Vata moves them. So we settle vata, everything else usually falls into place. So the fastest and easiest way to settle vata, a lot of times, is through the Shirodhara. So,
a fabulous practice.
It is wonderful. It is wonderful. I love it. It's one of my favorites. I love to receive and I love to give. And there's also different movements. It's just not like Chinese water torture where they're just having the oil just constantly beating on the third eye. It's not like that, because with each one and whatever dosha is out of balance is how you will move that oil stream to settle that down.
Nice.
Yes. So you kind of, there's a little movement involved in this. And then there's a head massage that goes with it that also helps to stimulate the scalp and move things around in the head.
Okay, so warning to people, after this practice, you go right home.
Absolutely. After every Ayurvedic body work, that's one of the kind of the things that I stress upon to my clients when they call me and they want to come in, and they just for the body work piece of it, is that I really do ask them to give themselves, you know, take some time off. What does it hurt? You know, don't jump back into your life. Go sit with these, because they are such, they're subtle, but they work on such a deep, deep level, and the results are profound. You know,
right.
It helps with everything, you know, whatever
right.
we're addressing, depending on how you, you know, you fit it to the client. So this would be, we kind of sidetracked off onto the Shiradhara part of it, you know, another bodywork piece for settling Pitta. And as far as Pitta goes in the going to the winter time and the fall, they really like it, like you were saying. You know, it's really comfortable for them, and it's their time of year.
Right.
Basically. You know, so there's not really much trying to pacify them, because they're already happy.
That's right.
And so the last category here is we have Kapha, and those are... Excuse me, once again, the questions that surround Kapha and what Kapha is composed of. You know, the heavy, the earth, the water. That's why we have fluid retentions. People have fluid retentions in their body or excess mucus. And another thing we have to remember about that, too, is sometimes people just, when the seasons change, things start can slow down while they're trying to make the change. Like you were speaking about the time change earlier, Elaine, and how that can make it's hard for you to get into the new routine and stuff like that. That is another way Kapha can get out of balance, where, and that's where Kapha has to look at and say, well, I can't really be doing this. I have to get up and move, even though this feels really good to me and my Vata is loving it. But a Vata Kapha person is, they're difficult because to balance, and it's a very fine dance with them, because, you know, you got Vata that's dry and Kapha that's wet, but everything else is pretty much the same. You know, except for the, you know, they're both cold. One's unctuous, one's dry, but for the most part, there are other attributes that are the same. So it's kind of a hard dance with that. So if you got a little bit of, you want to nourish your Vata because it's getting cold, because Vata's a little high right now because it's a change of season. And let's say you're in your Vata stage of life, which can be, you know, around, I don't know, maybe 60, 50, 60. It kind of depends on the, for women.
I was
going to
say,
you know,
my age.
Yeah.
My age. Yeah.
Well, sometimes the menopause, if we go through menopause too early, it's kind of going to throw us into that stage of life a little bit earlier, you know, because the Pitta is still all about the menstruation and stuff, still all about Pitta, because it's still about the hotness, the heatness, the reproduction years and things like that. But when we are meant to cease and we start to go inward more, because that is what happens when we get older as well. We do start slowing down. We can nourish that Vata too much and cause our Kapha to get out of balance if we have more type of Kapha constitution. So that's where wintertime is a little tricky for Vata Kapha constitutions. But other than that,
Gina, that's pretty much me. I've always tested Vata Kapha. I've never had a whole lot of Pitta. I've always been heavier in the Vata and the Kapha.
Yeah. Those are tough constitutions. They're not really tough. They're just delicate. You know, where you got the strength and the bala of Kapha, you know, you also have the lightness and the fragility of Vata. So it's just going to be a constant dance between you two. Well, you two, between those two constitutions.
Well,
you know,
well, you're right about like, you too also. So
right. You know, and that's where maybe helping to bring up Pitta a little bit, keeping your ama, watching that you don't get too much ama buildup. And ama is undigested stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that stuff be emotional, because kaphas have more of a tendency to fall to depression because they're holding. Another attribute of kasta is holding and plastering. That's why the body, you know, how where we get muscles and how they hold to the bone. That's a part of one of the subdoshas of kapha. So you kind of got to watch that and play with that and watch with the emotions, especially in the wintertime. If you are more kapha, you don't want to go to the dark side, as I like to refer to it as, you know, so you need to bring in that more of that light. And that's where Vata will appreciate that as well, because Vata likes the light. So if you can nourish that with a little bit of, you know, sunlight, even if it's sitting in your window and getting that filtered sunlight, you know, through the wintertime, if you can't totally get out, your Vata will love you, and Kapha's still happy because you're not laying it out on the beach, you know.
Right.
Kapha don't like the summer because it's just too hot for them. Even though they're cold, they like it, but they don't like it. They don't like the heat and all that because they feel like because it melts.
Right.
You know.
Would you
it's kind of like taking
with-
the...
With,
yeah, the extremes are pretty. The extremes are pretty intolerable for the Vata Kapha sex.
Now, would you say in general that if someone's primary dosha is a Kapha constitution, that is one of the hardest ones for the Kapha person themselves to kind of not pull out of, but to bring into balance because of that lack of movement, that lack of perhaps motivation?
Well, I wouldn't want to say that about anyone, that it would be difficult for them. Just keeping the doshas in balance is a day-to-day, I'm not going to use the word struggle, but a day-to-day conscientious thing, like getting up, having a morning routine and getting up and sticking to that. Kapha is doing more twisting and more
good
spinal twists and things like that can be very helpful in wringing out that kapha as well, helping to move it through. Because, you know, if you're more of a primary constitution is Vata Kapha, you don't want to get that stagnant because you don't want to have that build up in you, but you don't want to aggravate your Vata and end up constipated because now you've got all this phlegm and mucus build up. Now you have constipation on top of that. It's really hard to deal with those two imbalances. So by focusing on what nourishes your Vata but won't aggravate your kapha.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fine line. And that's where we have to look at our diet. It's just not go willy-nilly and say, oh, okay, well, they say to pacify kapha, do X, Y, Z, to pacify vata, do A, B, C. Well, that's going to be really hard to do because one counterbalances the other, or counteracts it. So you're looking for the balance in that. So maybe what you might take in for breakfast, you would watch and see if that favored, you know, you take in the warm foods that helps nourish your Vata, but not with a high fat content, you know.
Right. Right.
So that way
like,
it's not going,
oatmeal.
It's not going to go to aggravate your kapha. Because kaphas have enough to worry about already. They're already usually big boned, big framed. They have large, round eyes. They look unctuous. They're just, you know, the people with the doe eyes and the big, beautiful eyelashes and things. That's some of their qualities of what they look like. So
nice. They are luscious. The kapha is luscious. The vata is wispy, and the pitta is
fiery.
What, generally athletic?
Generally athletic, fiery, high energy, everything the fire is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And fire and water, because there is a water component to it, but it doesn't move like on its own. It needs like vata to spread, so but there is a component to that of spreading.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be your, that would sum up, you know, and pizzas are usually, they'll have the reddish hair. They'll have a reddish, ruddy complexion.
Mm-hmm.
Their skin is a little on the oily side, but not as unctuous as a kapha would be. They have great appetites, and they usually can lose weight pretty easily. They really don't have a weight issue. And it's kind of like they're always medium-framed, you know, and their skin usually sunburns easily because where they're already susceptible to that heat, they don't really like to be out in the sun. If you just go out, like I'm more of a pitta person, and I can go out in the sun for about, I can walk from outside and be only out in it 5 minutes or passing from point A or point B, and I can be red. And people are like, oh, my gosh, you just got sunburned. I said, no, I didn't. It's just I went outside.
There's Gina in her garden with her big sun hat on. And
I do.
Yeah.
I do, too. I do have, you're right. I do have my big sun hat on, and I usually garden in the shade. I try to only hit the gardens when they're in their shade time, and I stay out of the sun because it feels like I'm, literally feels like I'm burning.
Right.
So unlike a vata, they'll just like, oh, and they'll just suck it up, and they can't get enough, and I'm just sitting here going, oh, my gosh, seeking the shade. But I
you
like
know,
the
I love it for a while, and then in the summertime, in the height of the summertime, I can be out in it. I love it. And then I will reach a point, and I think some of that has to just do with the atmosphere now. But, you know, I think most people go, okay, done with the sun. And, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to turn the heat off. I just need some shade.
Right. And we should protect ourselves against the sun. The sun is intense. And no matter if we like it or not, and we're vata, and we love soaking up the sun, and we feel like we always need it, the sun, we do have to respect the sun as well, because the sun is a lot, it's hotter. Seems like it's more hotter here and hotter around everywhere. So I grew up in California, and it was always hot there growing up, and it's hot here. That sun seems like it's more intense here in the Northeast. And to the viewers out there, I'm in Massachusetts, so the sun here is a little more intense in the summertime. So, you know, the pittas, they should, you know, take heed. They also have light-sensitive eyes. So going outside in the sun is really hard on their eyes as well. So, you know, if you feel like you're going outside and you can hardly see, you know, it's a good idea to shield those eyes with some sunglasses.
Right. Right. Protective ones. Not just your five and dime guys, you know, the ones that shield out the correct rays.
Yeah. Especially for pittas, you know, where they don't tolerate any type of heat very well, and that's with their eyes as well.
So this is all like very interesting, and I'm sure people are thinking right now, okay, so now I have somewhat of an idea of what I am, or at least you know, at least enough so that they are, like, confused and say,
I know.
Well, now I don't even really know what I am.
I just didn't want to lead them out falsely either. So, yeah, they probably could be a little. But rest assured, you do not have to be one primary dosha. You could be, we're all to a certain level are tridoshic.
Right.
And the goal, and we all have Vata, Pitta, and Kapha in us. It is
right.
The which one is your primary, which one is your secondary, and then sometimes you meet people that all they're in balance all the way, and they're tridoshic.
Right.
Where they don't have a primary, they're just all, they're tridoshic. Or they have two that are the same, like me, my Pitta Vata are very close.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I have to watch that, because if my Vata gets out of balance, then it pushes on my Pitta and it causes inflammation. It causes
mm-hmm.
mood change where I don't have as much patience as I like to have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I can tell, because I can't find my Kapha. Kapha is nowhere, and I'm like, uh-oh, where'd you go? And so obviously, because it's pushing over here, because my other stuff is high. But that can happen on a day-to-day basis too, and that's how you can determine early on in the morning, oh, that might be a little high. That's a little high this morning, so maybe I'll just calm that down a little bit. You know, I drink a lot of chamomile tea.
Perfect.
For myself.
Yeah.
You know? Because it helps helps calm with the inflammation, and it helps keep the nerve calm. And where I'm always, I'm high energy. I'm very high energy, and that's the whole Vata Pitta together. I
mm-hmm.
like my Kapha. I like to nourish it because I like to sleep too. But then for me, it goes the other way. I get too Kaphic, then where I don't want to, you know, I'll sleep too much. So it's just a dance. It's
a daily thing. Yep.
It's a dance every day and a dance, you know, every season. And that's what we do. We stay in balance, and your body has its own intelligence. So for those folks out there that are totally confused, we all have our bodies have its own intelligence. So if we listen close enough to it, it'll tell us just what it needs.
So my body, as of late, has been telling me to drink lemon and ginger in tea. And, you know, I think that, well, for one, it's warming up my digestive area. So that Kapha stuff that I was actually answering yes to. And then can Kaphas also get more acidic? Because I'm going for the lemon right now, which is unusual, and lemon kind of helps to alkaline the body. So lemon ginger, I'm actually drinking it right now, a nice warm cup of tea with it. So
you're on the right track, even though the lemon, you're talking a little on the acidic side. It really is kind of balancing at the same time, and it's not going to aggravate you. The ginger and the lemon, the ginger, good for you, like you were saying, the digestion. You want to activate that digestion. You don't want ama building up in there.
Right.
In the lower
right.
part of, you know, your intestines. But if you feel like it's overheating, then you'll know that you're taking in too much if you start to get a little bit of too much indigestion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or acid.
Yep.
Can be an indication that, you know, maybe that's just a little bit too much right now for you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just use the ginger or backup, whichever one you need to do. Because the ginger
yep.
is good for post-digestion too, and the lemon is good for pre. So you would take the,
okay.
like, you know, do the lemon before and do the ginger after, you know, to help.
All I know is I want
part.
A lot of warm things to eat and to drink right now. Anything warm, like I had said, the pumpkin soup, you know, I find very calming.
That's what I've been
right
doing.
Now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I have been doing, is taking that into consideration. And we've had two soups already this week. I made a corn chowder, and that's
mm-hmm.
with the warm milk, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is really good for nourishing your ojas. And ojas is the fine essence in our body that helps keep us lubricated. And then I made a gumbo. But
gumbo.
I didn't keep it thick. Yeah, I made it thin, like a gumbo soup instead of a thick gumbo, you know, where you can use, I used some chicken in that and some shrimp.
Mm.
And I think I used some an andouille sausage. But I used a nitrate-free, nor hormones, heritage pork type sausage in it. Just to make sure I was getting real food.
I was going to say, and not get a headache. If I have nitrates,
I really
get a headache.
Right. Yeah, no nitrates. If you can, always search out your foods, especially if you're going to eat those meats that are like sausages and compounds and bacon and stuff like that. And even chicken. Look for the, you know, but I don't think they preserve chicken with nitrates. I don't think I ever saw that. But with the pork and the sausages and those combined meats, you know, try to buy the ones with the no nitrates. They taste, you know, they taste so much better, and they give your food so much better prana. The energy in the food is totally different because I've cooked with all of those before. I knew what I knew now, what I didn't know then.
Yep.
Wow, what a difference. What a difference in the energetics of the food.
Right.
You know, versus buying other stuff. And it's worth the investment. For those folks out there to say, oh, my gosh, I don't want to pay $8 for two of these sausage links. But the investment's worth it because you can use half of them. You don't need to use as much because the flavor is so much bigger.
Yes.
In that.
Yes.
That you don't need to use as much. You don't have to consume as much. So, therefore, you get a quality that you can have a good quality food in
well,
your life.
I tell people this as far as, like, they go, oh, God, it's so expensive to eat healthy. However, it's really expensive to turn around and try to get over being unhealthy. So,
exactly.
Which place do you want to spend the money? Do you want to spend it ahead of time or do you want to spend it afterwards? Well, honestly, spending it ahead of time, you can kind of side skip that whole, wow, I feel awful.
And that's what the point of Ayurveda is all about. Ayurveda is about life and keeping life. So by getting these imbalances before, by reading the pulse, looking at the tongue, taking the dosha questionnaires, looking at your nail beds, looking at your sleep habits, looking at your eating habits, by looking at all of that and assessing it and putting together a wellness plan, 85 to 90% of all diseases can be prevented.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been proven by the Western science people. You know, and it's because it's all about what we consume emotionally and through our food and what we take in our environment.
Right.
And if we keep those conducive to our primary constitutions, then our constitutions stay in balance and they don't get vitiated.
Yes. So, Dana, what would you say that perhaps you feel as though you are in need of at this time?
I'm not sure how to answer that alone, but I did want to ask a question of Dana. Mm-hmm. Dana, do you find that if someone has a particular dosha out of balance, that they would tend to crave foods that take them further out of balance, or would they tend to crave foods that would put them back in balance?
That's an excellent question, Dana. And yes, the answer is yes to both those questions, because it depends on how far out of balance they really are. You know, at first, kind of like that Supersize Me, at first he liked all that stuff and then it was tasting good and he ate it. Oh yeah, this makes me feel good, this is kind of good for me, I'm feeling better. But then it took its toll, it spun the other way and it just took him down the dark and heavy road, and he was feeling like he wanted more, but he was craving that stuff that was making him imbalanced. But he knew that he needed to eat something else, like he was craving something else, but it didn't really work out to eat that because that other was overpowering it. So that could happen. The same, it'd be like, you know, I made a chicken and noodle casserole. And for me, casseroles are really heavy. It's not one of my food choices, but I make them because my husband likes them. So I made a chicken and noodle casserole thing last week, and I could only eat, like, my one portion that one time. But, like, he loved it, and he just kept eating and kept eating and kept eating and couldn't get enough of it. And that's all he wanted to continue to eat. Where me, I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't deal with this because it was too heavy for me. To eat chicken noodle casserole. If anybody knows those chicken noodle casseroles, they know what I'm talking about. You know, it's like eating a brick, you know.
Right.
But that's just a kind of an example of that. So, yes, it can be. It can go that way. And that's where we have to, where we know when we look at our constitution, we take these little constitutional questionnaires to see which one is vitiated, dosha, it becomes out of balance, and then we can correct it. But if people don't have that access to them, they have access to the elements outside, to the environment around us, just watching the change of the seasons, and you start to take care of yourself based on that. Like the leaves in the wintertime, especially here in the Northeast, there's no leaves on the trees. So you know how you don't crave salads in the wintertime.
Right.
Well, I don't know if you guys do. I don't.
No.
I don't. I just don't crave wet, you know, leaves. It's just something that I don't like. But yet come start the springtime, come February, well, usually around March, it starts up. Because I know my body's changing, the season is coming, and I want to start eating those leaves again. And the leaves are starting to come back on the trees. You say, oh, yeah, I can eat the leaves because the leaves are on the trees. So that's why it can being too much vegan or vegetarian and stuff can upset some people's imbalances if they're not cooking those greens. They're still continuing to eat those raw greens. There's nothing wrong with eating those greens. You just have to cook them and make them warm. It's just like there's nothing wrong with the fruits. Oh, don't eat cold fruit. Some of the things say, oh, well, you shouldn't have cold fruit. Well, especially like vodka in the wintertime, you don't want them to be eating cold apples because apples are dry. They're cold. So it's better off for the vodkas to cook their apples in the wintertime.
Now,
you
what's
know,
funny is
apple,
I ate a salad last night, and it did not sit well. And I love salads, but, of course, it was a little bit warmer around here yesterday than normal for this time of year, which is why I'm like, okay, well, I'll have a salad for dinner. However, I think I would have liked a bowl of soup even more so. It would have just done better.
Yeah, and your body told you that, or your subconscious, your mind, your body told you that.
Exactly.
That after you had that, you said, oh, I thought I wish I would have had
soup
instead. Yeah.
Yes.
But
yep.
It happens to all of us. You know,
it does.
It does. And it's not, don't think you've done anything wrong by... You know, if things go off, if you go off your so-called out of your routine and you might splurge a little bit, that's fine. Just jump back into it again.
That's
you
right.
Know?
Go back to it.
Yeah, just get back to the road and stay on the path. And you can, you know, lead a wonderful, healthy lifestyle. And even those folks that already have imbalances and stuff that they're taking, you know, seeing Western doctors for and being treated for, there's nothing to say that they can't start working on that, those changes in their lives as well, just little changes, you know, any little change. And that's usually how I bring the clients along. And that's the beautiful thing about Ayurveda. It is meets you where you're at, what can you do, and what can you bring into your life to help
now
get this back into balance.
Right.
And usually there's always something people can work with. They love the oiling of the feet, or they love the teas, or they love the baths, the body work piece of it. in particular, like we were talking about the Shiradhara, the Abhyanga, the self-massage.
Yeah, which we don't really have time to go over that today, but I think the next time that we have you on, Gina, I'd like to go over what, you know, a nightly routine would look like so that somebody has some kind of an idea of, you know, what to do, the oil, you know, because it's not just, you know, it's an energetic hygiene practice. Along with, you know, it's a physical practice too. So it's a very nice thing. And, you know, you talked about being vata pitta and looking for that calming down. And I know that, you know, you do this routine every night. And, of course, it gets you prepared for that rest that we all need.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the people will rest. They rest better usually anyway, you know. If they have a little dinacharya, daily routine,
uh-huh.
you know, that they bring uh-huh. into their life.
Right. Right. Well, Gina, this has been a lovely show, as always. Do you have anything else that you would like to ask Dana before we sign out here?
I do not, but I agree. This has been a lovely and informative show, and we really do appreciate having Gina on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
it's always fun, always interesting. And, again, you know, frequent flyer miles. You'll be back, Gina.
Well, I just so enjoy talking about Ayurveda and being able to bring it to more people, you know, their awareness about it will also help them in their lifestyle when they feel like there's nowhere else to turn, because sometimes Western medicine isn't as helpful in this category, you know, because it's not part of their scope of their practice.
Right.
And I think I see a lot in the future of Ayurveda and Western medicine really working side by side, and my hopes is that we'll see a lot less dis-ease within humanity.
Awesome. Yep. Yep.
So
well,
I
so Gina, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do they go about that?
Well, they can reach me by telephone, and that number is 781-706-0339. They can also reach me at my website, www.rainwaterfalls.com. And the email is gina@rainwaterfalls.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
also, you're on Facebook.
Yes. Yeah, I'm on Facebook under Rainwater Falls Apothecary.
Perfect.
And I'm on Twitter now, too. So
good for you.
Yep, @RainwaterGina if they want to tweet me.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I know myself I'll be having an appointment with Gina before too long, because guess what? I'm in Massachusetts, too. So looking forward to it, Gina. It's always a pleasure, and thank you for being on. And
thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I am Elaine Reed Cole for Mystic Truth Radio, and you can also find me on Facebook. There's a few different pages that I'm on. You can also, we love it if you decide to leave your comments and stuff on our page, our mutual page, which is Mystic Truth Radio. Also, you can go to our new website, which is www.mystictruth.net. And Dana, let's have you sign us out.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening today. This is Dana Zimmerman, and you can find me on Facebook and www.danazimmerman.com. Thanks again, Gina. Thank you, Elaine. And everybody, check our Facebook page, check mystictruth.net, and check us out again next Wednesday at noon. We'll be back with another discussion on Mystic Truth Radio. Until then,
awesome.
Elaine.
Let's keep talking about it. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.